Let's pray. Father, as we look into your word, we pray that your Holy Spirit will open it to us this morning so that we can hear from you. Amen. Well, good morning, everyone. We are, many of you know, we do a group called Explorers for our 7 to 11-year-olds on a Saturday afternoon where we have tea together and then we look at something to do with our Christian faith. And this year we're going through an alpha course with the children. And yesterday we were doing Why Did Jesus Have to Die? Which fits in really well with our theme today, which is Jesus, the way, the truth, and the life. And there's a story that was told on the video that we're watching. You might have heard it. It's a story about two friends. And these friends went to school together. They were best friends at school, and they actually went to the same university where they were really good friends at university as well. But then when they started thinking about careers, they went in very different directions. One of them decided on a career in the law, and after being a solicitor for a while, ended up a high court judge. And the other friend, for whatever reason, ended up with a career, if you can call it that, in crime as a criminal, and on that side of society. And after many years, the criminal friend, came into the court of the High Court judge. And he had a real dilemma, because is he going to uphold the law, do the right thing, or is he going to find a way of helping his friend, his best friend from childhood? And the story goes that the High Court judge imposed the fine that was suitable for the crime that this person had done, which was quite a big fine. But then after the punishment had been handed out, went and found his old friend and paid the price and wrote a check to cover the amount of the fine, because there's no way this person could have paid it by themselves. And they use that story as a really good example of why Jesus had to die, Jesus paying the price, not just for one person's sin, but for the things that all of us do wrong. And I wanted to share that with you because it links into our theme, but also to encourage you to be praying for our children, especially those who are coming along and finding out what it means to follow Jesus today. And so do, if you can, pray for our Explorer group as they go through this course. So let's have a think about Jesus, the way, the truth, and the life. We learnt the memory verse from John 14, verse 6, earlier on. And any children here, at the end of the service, if you want to, if you come and stand here and follow the footsteps of the memory verse, there's a possibility it might lead to some chocolate eggs. Just a possibility at the end of the service. So just bear that one in mind. Follow that memory verse and it might lead to some chocolate eggs. I mean, in fact, it leads to something a lot better, doesn't it? It leads to our having a relationship with Jesus. But more of that in a moment. Now, I don't know if you like to use your sat-navs a lot. I certainly do. There's a story about this person who used their sat-nav, put the direction in, and this was in a newspaper from the Midlands, how the sat-nav led them right into a river that the sat-nav didn't know it was there, because they trusted too much in the sat-nav. If you put Buckingham Palace in the sat-nav, hopefully your sat-nav will lead you there without taking you through the middle of the River Thames. But we've got to think about who we trust and why we trust. I did a little experiment. I put heaven in my sat-nav. Can your sat-nav lead you to heaven? In fact, where it leads you to is a heaven dry cleaner. So there's also a heaven nightclub, apparently, as well. So your sat-nav might lead you to that kind of heaven. But at the sat-nav we have, God's word, this will lead us to not only heaven in eternity, but also to that relationship with God that we can have now. The Bible can be our navigation through Jesus to heaven. So as Christians, we have this God's word, don't we? John clearly tells us the way to heaven is through Jesus. And here we read how Jesus says, I am the way. And through him, it's possible for us to approach God in prayer. And moreover, it shows us how Jesus is the way that we can be reconciled to God. In Romans 5, we're told, God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. So Jesus is the way that we can have this relationship with God. He is the way to God. If you've been in the Sunday evenings, we've been going through the book of Hebrews, and that's talking about how Jesus is the sacrifice, the great high priest, the way to God. Jesus, the way, the truth, and the life. And here we see Jesus is the way. Through his word, he will lead us to God. But not only is Jesus the way, he also says he's the truth. And if we're going to put our trust in somebody, we need to know that they tell the truth. That makes sense, doesn't it? So I wonder if you can work out which one of these three statements is true. Okay? My great-great, and if you times it by eight, and Samuel and Grace, you're not allowed to vote on this. My great-great times eight uncle is either David Livingstone, William Wilberforce, or Charles Dickens. All right, one of those is a true statement, believe it or not. So hands up, Grace and Samuel, not you. If you think my great-great times eight uncle is David Livingstone, the explorer. Grace, I said don't put your hand up. Yeah. Hands up for William Wilberforce. Charles Dickens. Well, if you saw Grace and Samuel, you will know it actually is the explorer Charles Dickens. But of course, any of us can, the explorer, whatever his name is, David Livingstone. Any of us can make up stories about ourselves. And Jesus made these statements about himself, didn't we? I am the way, I am the truth. A couple of other things he said. I and the Father am one. And some, the statement we hear today, that show us where Jesus is, where he comes from, and where we go with him. I wonder how well we know some of these statements from John's Gospel. Let's do a little test. We'll have a team over here. You can be Manchester City, all right? And you can be Liverpool, okay? All right, as they're the top in the Premiership at the moment. So, can anyone in Manchester City tell me one of the statements that one of the I am statements that Jesus makes about himself? Anyone call out, I am the good shepherd. So there's one. So it's 1-0 to Liverpool. Were you Liverpool or Manchester City? Manchester City. Sorry, 1-0 to Manchester City. So Liverpool, can you equalise another I am statement? Yeah. I am resurrection. Thank you. The resurrection and the life. Well done. That's at John 11:25. So that's 1-1. Right. Have we got another one here? I am the vine. Well done. So 2-1. No. I am the bread of life. So that's 2-2. Well done. I am the light of the world. 3-2. The door. I am the gate. I am the door. 3-3. So, penny to shoot at. Who can shout at the other one? No. We did it today. The way, the truth, and the life. I think we'll call that a 3-3 draw. So, Jesus makes these statements that tell us about who he is and also where he comes from. And Jesus, he doesn't say, I'm telling you the truth. That's a statement he uses a number of times in the Bible. But here, he says something more. He says, I am the truth. I am the truth. Perhaps a strange thing for somebody to say. But of course, Jesus, the Son of God, is more than a man. And on a number of occasions, Jesus says this, very truly, I tell you, Jesus answered, before Abraham was born, I am. And I believe that his claim to be the truth was shown, was proven, as we'll see in a couple of weeks, when he rose again, that we celebrate at Easter. The Son of God in power was resurrected from the dead, Jesus Christ, our Lord. So if we want to know what truth is, we can just look at Jesus. His words are the words we can build our lives upon. They're written down for us in the Bible, so we have free access to them. He spoke and lived in harmony with truth. It was as if truth arrived in the person of Jesus, and he fulfilled a score of prophecies when he became the yes. For no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ. And so through him, the Amen is spoken to us by the glory of God. And these prophecies help us see the central role Jesus had in God's purpose, that the Word became flesh dwelling among us. We've seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace. So Jesus said he's the way, the truth, and the life. He isn't just an add-on to our lives. He isn't just somebody that we look to fit into a few minutes each day, perhaps into an hour on our Sundays. Jesus is our life, because relationship with God is what we were created for. And of course, by means of his ransom, he gave up his perfect life. It means that we can gain this real life as well. Everlasting life in the future, but this relationship with God that we can have now. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of his grace. He will prove to be the life for the millions who have gone before us, who have already died, but who will be raised to life with the prospect of living in paradise forever. And Jesus is the way to us having that relationship with God. Jesus is the truth. We can trust what he says. We can trust what we read in his word. And Jesus is the life, now and forever. And I was thinking of a response. Each of us can choose how we respond to this invitation to follow him. Each of us can choose whether we follow the footsteps of this verse, Jesus, the way, the truth, and the life. And I've just got a prayer, because it's really important that we recommit our lives to Jesus now and again. Just say, yes, Jesus, I want to make you the center of my life. And if you wouldn't mind joining me with this prayer, that would be great, just to finish this part of the service. And if it's a prayer you've never said before, you'd be really welcome to join in. So do join with me. Lord Jesus, thank you for calling us to follow you. We believe that you are the way, the truth, and the life. We choose to put our trust in you. Help us to walk closely with you each day. Thank you for making it possible for us to be part of God's kingdom now and forevermore. Amen.